702.
Call Refilwe on 011
883 0702.
Absolutely. Do give us a call. If you are an avid bird watcher, this is your opportunity to have some burning questions answered, because, of course, it's Sunday. And just after the sports update with Anthony Teixeira, what do? We touch base with our conservation expert, Tim Neary. And today we are looking at the BirdLife SA's annual Birding Big Day. It's called the BBD, Birding Big Day. That's taking place on the 3rd of December. And once again, the Lowveld teams are, as I'm told by Tim, expected to score high and scoop some of the top prizes. But of course, Tim's going to tell us what the BBD is all about. Welcome back, as per usual, Tim Neary. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. What a lovely morning it is. But overcast, etc. And my oath, did that wind blow last night.
Boy, did the wind blow and the water come down, the rain come down.
Yeah, but it's nothing like that wind. That was, it was glorious. I should have been sailing.
Port Elizabeth boy to the right down to the core.
So, oh, absolutely.
So, Tim, of course, the Birding Big Day is one that encouraged birding teams around the country to record their sightings over a 24-hour period. And, you're best placed to tell me this, but I get a sense, just a teeny weeny sense, that the birding community is quite a competitive one.
Birding community is very competitive, and they always fascinate me. They'll get some little lesser spotted blue tit that is seen 1,000 kilometers from where it should be, and this becomes, they all rush off to go and see it. And I think it's lovely because they offer so much back to science as well. I think the birding community is one of the best citizen scientists around. They definitely, and they're very keen on it. They're very keen on spotting things. They're very keen on not having exotics around. So, you know, we're seeing this thing which we'll be chatting about on a second program about the Indian miners in the Kruger Park and Pilansberg and all over the place, and how they're expanding. But the more important thing is that I think through what they do with things like Birding Big Day is they do measure the range expansions or contractions or whatever of different species. And we get so many people that talk to us and they write into us about their birds. And I love that, you know, my birds in my garden. You know, they mustn't go to Mrs. Jones or in Cabinda next door. Please, whatever you do, they've got to stay in my garden. And now it's a case of, well, okay, so you've been shouting about this. What have you got? Well, I am going to ask Ernest when we chat to him whether or not I can count my three chickens. Do they count as birds, one wonders? You know, but I love it. I think it's a great time. And people get that reward. They get that sense of reward. They say, I've got X amount in my garden. But I don't think they really know just how many different species. And that's where I like people like David Everard, a friend of mine down in KZN. He birds by sound. And it's, you know, he'll stop, get out his car and count 18 birds. And then you will count 12 birds in your garden. He's at 36. Because of all the little guys, the secretiveness and how they hide. And I think this is where Birding Big Day becomes a great one for people that don't go out and people that just want to get into birding.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, we do have Ernst Rittief on the line. Of course, Ernst is the organizer of Birding Big Day. And welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Ernst. Thanks so much for making the time.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So this is the 38th edition of Big Birding Day. My goodness, going strong. What does it take to organize a day of this nature?
Yeah, it's quite amazing that it's now the 38th year that we will be having Birding Big Day. Mm-hmm. And you can just imagine years ago, 38 years ago, there was no internet and no email and so on.
Yeah.
So Birding Big Day looks a lot different than it's currently looking. But yeah, I think it's an annual event, and it takes quite a lot to organize. We have over 1,700 people and over 400 teams that participated last year, and we hope to pass that record for data this year. But yeah, it's done all electronically these days, so this is quite easy for teams to register. It's very easy to manage. And we've also got this nice app called BirdLabs these days that people love today, and I can talk a little bit more about that just now.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's not too difficult to organize.
Yeah, yeah. Tim is standing by to find out if his chickens count.
Yeah. Can I count my 3 chickens in the garden? Do that? Can I tick them off immediately?
No, Tim, you can't tick your chickens.
Come on, it's a Malaysian jungle fowl.
So the rules state that only the birds officially or species officially recognized by the BirdLife South Africa Checklist Committee can be recognized. So there's always debate with ostriches. For example, you can lock and you lock the ostriches in the middle of the Karoo in the farm. But yeah, this is there's some rules around to which species you can lock and not lock and so on.
Is it only aimed at Gauteng or is this countrywide?
No, absolutely. So let me just quickly explain how it works for those that don't know about birding debate. So teams can, or birders can make up teams of up to 4 birders. They can also be 1, 2, or 3, but we prefer that teams have 4 birders. And then sometimes you get also community groups that will make a team. And they will then try and see as many species as possible within a 24-hour period. So on 3 December from early morning till late to the evening, in 24 hours, they can try and see as many species as possible. Now, some teams take this very seriously. They will start when the clock goes at 0001 on Saturday morning. They will be out birding. Some teams start at 4 o'clock, and then they go on till the late in the evening and try and see as many species as possible. Now, this is a event for the whole of South Africa. In fact, to make it a little bit more fairer, we recently introduced provincial challenges. So we've got an overall challenge so that teams can compete against us and we see which team has seen the most species in South Africa. And then there are provincial challenges, so teams can compete and see who sees the most species within a province. And then also this year, we've got a new category. Let me just go back one step. Teams can only atlas or record data within a 50-kilometer radius area, so that's 100-kilometer circle, basically. It's quite a large area. But we also got a smaller category this year, a 6-kilometer radius, so that's about 12 kilometers for people just want to access the local bird park or nature reserve or garden or something like that. We've also created this new category. But basically, anywhere in South Africa, in fact, we want to get people to do cards and submit data for the whole of South Africa. So not only are we looking at individual competitions, but we also record the data seen by all the birders together. So, for example, last year we saw over 650 bird species together as a team. So if you consider that we've got about 850 bird species in South Africa, and a lot of them are vagrants, we've actually seen a really, really large percentage of the bird species that occur in South Africa during the day. And just out of interest, the record for the most species seen within this 50-kilometer radius is held by the team Raven Dickops. These teams give themselves a name, and they've given them the name the Raven Dickops. And they've seen an amazing 335 bird species. And this was 2 years ago, just after the lockdown. They did an amazing job, and they birded around the Kruger, the south of Kruger, and they've seen an amazing amount of species. So, and each year we've got teams that regularly see, a number of teams that see more than 300 bird species, and a lot of teams over 200 bird species in their 50-kilometer radius. So that is just absolutely amazing to think that, it's possible to see those many bird species in such a small area.
I mean, it's crazy because some people see that sort of in a lifetime. The data that you're collecting, obviously a fun event, but in among certain parts of the birding community, it's highly competitive. What happens to the data that you're collecting? Is there a use for it? Do you look at, for example, the range expansion of Indian miners?
Yeah, so a lot of people that participate in Birding Big Day also submit their data to the Southern African Bird Atlas Project. That is also one of the reasons why we created the smaller 6-kilometer radius category. For the Southern African Bird Atlas Project, the area that you submit data for is called the Pentads, and that's about 9 by 9 kilometers and a 6 kilometer radius cover such as Atlas Penta. So a lot of the teams that participate on the day actually submit their data to the Southern African Bird Atlas project. And this project is used to, for example, look at the race expansion of various bird species like the minor. We also record data for threatened bird species. So I think, if I remember correctly, last year I got about 3,000 records for threatened birds data. So what I didn't mention thus far is what's really interesting about birding big day now, that one member in the team lock the data that all the species that they see on the mobile app called BirdLasser. It's a free app. And I would really like to invite the birders that's listening today. If you don't know about the app BirdLasser, go and have a look. It's for free. You can download it. And it helps you to keep track of your life list and to lock the species. And what is really nice about Birding BK now in comparison to years ago, that we've got an online live leaderboard. So as people lock the data, it automatically syncs through the internet to online maps and online leaderboard. So as people lock the data during the day, we can see how many species a team have locked, and this is then showed live on a map. So as provincial maps on the overall leaderboard map, on the 6 kilometer map, all the categories, basically those maps update live. And because of that, we get actual point count data of where the species is locked. And as I said, for threatened bird species, we then get this exactly. So if somebody locked a secretary bird, which is an endangered species in South Africa, we at BirdLife South Africa can download the data, and we use that point count data then to do further analysis and work. So yes, it's a fun event, but it's also an event where we collect really, really important data. So just by the way, I think last year we recorded over 40,000 bird sightings in one day.
Sure, that's pretty notable. 40,000 bird sightings in one day. As people log these and record these, is there any sort of worry about verification of the species identified, etc.?
Yes, so we, the most of the people that participate in Birding Big Day, this is quite experienced birders,
yes.
But we do some vetting of the data. Especially of the teams that, won certain categories and so on. We will vet the data and we will check it and so on. I'm always surprised when I look at the data at the end of the day at the accuracy. It is actually quite amazing. I mean, we really, really lack in South Africa that the quality of birding is really of high standard.
Yeah.
Ernst, given now you've got events like this, etc., but you've got people listening this morning of all ages that say, well, I've looked at the birds in my garden, I've got an interest in birds because they're pretty and all the rest of it, but I want to know more about getting into birding. What do you need to start birding, and in fact, how do people go about getting into a reasonable birding experience and making it part of their hobby?
Yeah, so I think as I said, we're really lucky in South Africa that we've got a wide variety of species, and they occur everywhere. And as you've already alluded to earlier, they occur in our gardens. During lockdown, there was an interesting project where, because we couldn't travel, we asked people to log as many species as possible they can see in their gardens. And people log 30, 40, 50, 60 species in the gardens, and sometimes even in small complexes in a small garden, they could log a large number of birds. And I would invite people that's new to birding to start in their garden. Get binoculars, get a field guide. We are extremely lucky in South Africa that we've got, I don't know how many field guides, but there's a wide variety of field guides. You also get apps on your phone that you can buy and download with the bird calls. You've mentioned earlier that we record birds on call also these days. But these apps are absolutely fantastic to help you. And there's even apps these days that help you to identify the bird through, you will tell the app how large the bird is, what's its color, what its beak like, and so on. And it will try and identify the bird for you. So I would say to people, start in your garden with binoculars and a bird guide and try and identify all the birds in your garden. And if you're confident that you can do that, go to your local park and then expand and go wider. But also, we've got a wide, there's a number of bird clubs right throughout the country. If I remember correctly, it was last time, it's something like 42 bird clubs. And if you're really keen, try and join one of these bird clubs and go out with experienced birders. Most clubs have people that are really keen to help new birders. And that's the best way to learn, is to go out with somebody that that can show you what you need to look at and how you need to go about identifying a bird and so on. But then, as you know, it is a fascinating experience. It's a fascinating hobby. It's quite addictive. And there's also various ways that you can do this. You mentioned twitching the other day. A lot of people go for twitching. They try and see as many species as possible. Some people go out and try and find all the bird nests. Some look at behavior. There's so many ways that you can do birding as a hobby, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to travel a lot. You can if you want to, but you can, as I said, also do it in your garden.
Rufilio, I think one of the things I find that is fun, though, is also when, as I said earlier, you get all these odd birds that come into different places. And some years ago, we were on Swalu on the Kalahari.
Yes.
We were doing a cheetah capture. And the guys doing the capture said, "Where the hell are you?" And we said, "No, hang on. We're looking at a pelican." And they said, "Yes, really? I can imagine what this pelican is." And we took photographs. And there on the dam was our very, very lost pelican, sitting in the middle of the Kalahari.
So that's fascinating.
I think when Ern says they've got to verify, particularly am I right in saying that when there are species that are far out of their range and somebody identifies them, that's very often a red flag to say, let's verify it. And so often it is a bird that's kind of got lost, sort of floating along on a piece of, on a wind flame somewhere, and it's kind of got lost.
Yeah, so we've got the National Registries Committee in South Africa. I'm doing the admin for this committee. So when people see these really strange birds that pitch up at strange places, there's a way that they can submit the data to the National Registries Committee and we vet the data. And as Tim notes, there's a group managed by Trevor Hardecker, Mr. Rarities in South Africa. And he regularly reports, I just saw a report yesterday evening, I think it's a white rattail that's not seen in South Africa. There's the Madagascar cuckoo currently, which is totally lost, that's been seen in South Africa. And so people report these sightings, and if data gets shared, or the information gets shared with the larger birding community, and then people go and try and see these birds, and it's just absolutely a great fun.
I'll tell you what, thank goodness for cell phones and just being able to capture things on the fly. Otherwise, you'd be the sort of joke of the birding group because no one would believe you otherwise. Talk to us about the fact that, your corporate sponsor is also going to be sort of funding the revision of the Red Data Book for Birds that's undertaken by BirdLife South Africa. What does the revision entail? What kind of relook will the Red Data Book get?
Yeah, so the Red Data Book is a really important book for conservation purposes. It helps us to prioritize our work. As I said earlier, we've got 850 bird species of Africa, but it's really difficult to conserve all of them or work on all of them. So the Red Data Book helps us to identify the species which are under threat and which we need to focus our conservation efforts on. So we published our previous Red Data Book in 2015,
yes.
And so every 5 to 7, 8 years we try and revise the Red Data Book, and we've just started with that, and we received some funding to do this work. And as I said earlier, we use all the data, like the data from the 7 African Bird Atlas project. We analyze the data then to see trends and to try and identify which species are in trouble. We look at all the scientific papers that's been published in the last few years that might show that, for instance, the white-backed vultures, the chippy birds, the black harriers, numbers have declined quite dramatically. And then, there's very specific criteria that we need to look at set by the IUCN, the International Union for Conservation of Nature. And so it's quite a scientific process that we need to follow, and there's real strict standards. And we are now busy setting up this world project, getting all the data and trying ways to analyze the data. We looked at considering also new sort of tools and things that we can use, like satellite data to help us with this. There's some nice, exciting new products that we are working on. And so we hope that in the next 2 years or so, we will do all this analysis, get all the expert opinion, mm-hmm. and then in 2023, 2024, we will publish the Red Data Book, and what's going to be what we really hope this year is usually the Red Data Book is quite a dry book. It's a scientific publication. But this year we're also going to publish a more informal publication with some basic data, but then also some nice stories about researchers that will tell their experience of working, for instance, with a specific species and so on. So we hope to publish this more informal publication that will be published by, and that will be widely available. So yeah, it's an exciting project, big project.
Yeah, but absolutely.
An exciting, important project.
Mm. Tim, I'm going to give you the final one.
Yeah, well, I think it's a wonderful thing for next week, Rafilu. So if anybody is keen on getting into birding, etc., Ernst, you know, just look up BirdLife South Africa in the internet, look up Birding Big Day, get yourselves involved, and I'd be very keen afterwards, Ernst, if you'd feedback to us the sort of data that you did, how many people participated, etc., and we'll just do a short little feedback at some point. I would really appreciate that.
And I would really like to invite people, even if they don't participate in Birding Big Day, go and check the leaderboard. As you said, if you go and search Birding Big Day 22 on Google, the first thing that will come up is Birding Big Day, the main page, and on the left-hand side at the bottom are all the links to the live links to the leaderboards of the day. So I invite the listeners to please go and check, you know, how the teams are doing. You can actually click on a team and see exactly where they are birding in South Africa, and you can see which birds they are recording.
Mm-hmm.
So it is great fun. So please, even if you don't participate in Birding Big Day, you can participate by just viewing the leaderboards and so on.
All right. Really quickly, remind us, Ernst, the two categories that teams can participate in again.
So there's a 50-kilometer radius category, so that's an area of 100 kilometers from side to side, and that is for the more serious people that want to try and cover a large area. And then there's a 6-kilometer radius, so 12 kilometers from side to side. And then, as I said, we also automatically sort these teams into provincial challenges, so all the teams locked in a specific province. People can also try and see the most species in those provinces. And many people, in fact, just participate for the fun or compete against their friends and try and break their previous records and so on.
Lovely stuff. Ernst, thank you so much for your time this morning. And of course, we look forward to getting that feedback once entries and the data input has ended on the 4th of December. So looking forward to the outcome of that. Of course, Ernst Retief is organizer of Birding Big Day. Tim, a lovely one. I'm really, a really lovely conversation there. And I'm keen to hear the insights and the outcomes of the BBD.
Awesome, yes. And we will also, as I said, we're going to be looking at the Indian miners in the Kruger National Park. When you've got one, you've already got 200.
Oy, the Indian miner, my goodness. First came across or first experienced them when we lived in Durban. And can those things squawk? Can those things poo on a car? And can those things ravage a fruit tree?
And can they ravage your bird's nests as well? But I'm now going to be off to go and see how I can change BirdLife's idea and get my chickens registered as a species.
Good luck with that, Tim Neary. Tim, of course, is our resident conservation expert. Any questions you've got for Tim, do drop us an email at rafilwe@702.co.za.